Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Feels like I'm going down a one-way street in every direction.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, comforter, and warner in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam,
ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. And welcome back to Young, Gifted, and Black. It has been a minute, and I have certainly missed everyone. I know the last 2 weeks we had teamed up with Let Us Make Man, and we've been doing an FOIMGT series with them, which is very pleasurable and enjoyable, but it's no place like home. So it's a pleasure to be back with all of you again. Those of you who have joined us by phone and in the chat room, I have certainly missed you on Saturday night. And so without further ado, I know you missed her too. We have not heard from Sister Yatira in a couple of weeks, the host of our show tonight. So, assalamu alaikum, queen.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
How are you?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. I cannot complain.
Oh, praises to Allah. Okay, well, we're going to talk about being single, black, female, and Muslim. And I know everyone may not be Muslim, but if you're single, black, and female, we all facing the same problems. We all facing the same plight. So before we move on, we want to introduce our panel. And the first person I'm going to bring front and center is my dear sister, Jamie. Assalamu alaikum, queen.
Wa alaikum salam, and I'm sorry. Assalamu alaikum from the beginning. I was on mute. I thought you guys was hearing me, but you didn't. So assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, queen. Yes, ma'am. Can you introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit something about you?
I surely can. Well, all praises due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, whom all holy praises are forever due. I further bear witness that his divine messenger, Messiah, that is among us, his Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, came to lift us, the black man and woman, out of the bales of slavery, mental slavery, physical slavery, emotional slavery. It just got us on a better path. And then since this is about women, he did most of his focal goal and work with black women of America. And I thank him every day for coming to lift me through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their three names that I reach everyone. There, you listen, audience, in the greeting, words of peace, assalamu alaikum. A little quickly about me. I am, single black Muslim woman. Definitely fit those characteristics. Muslim being one who submits their will to the will of Allah. That's all Muslim means. So even if we don't claim Islam, we are all Muslim. That's just simply just a different language, and we get confused when we say the different languages. But all praise due to Allah, he bringing us together with one language, one cause, one God, one man, one way of thinking. And so with that being said, I am a sister that helps to do that by networking the black businesses, no matter the culture. I try to help to teach, guide, reach our family all across, you know what I'm saying, the world. Right now I'm working on a few projects by the will and grace of Allah. Just been quiet. A lot of you haven't heard from me, but I am still here. I'm just been trying to just focus on the next project, the next thing to do, working with the youth and things of that nature, just trying to just connect us to try to do better, want better, and have better. So I just been quiet. I'm in the laboratory. I ain't gonna release too much. Still in the laboratory because I just work making things happen. So by the will and grace of Allah, like I said, I do marketing. I do social media marketing. I do business consulting. But right now I'm putting those things on hold temporarily until I get my plate a little bit less heavy as it is. But I'm still working always. Never stop doing that. And I'm just, you know, of course, I'm a sister that likes to, I'm an invert, so I take on energies and spirits of my sisters and my brothers, and so I try to help just, you know, whatever spiritual word that I can, whenever I can. So if you're looking for me, you need just something, a positive word of prayer, Diatoma Clarity on Yahoo, on Facebook, just, you know, hit me up there, and I'm going to go for that. But assalamu alaikum, be quiet now.
All praise to Allah. Okay, and we have someone with us who expressed to me that she may have been quite nervous because this is her first time, so we certainly want to make her feel at home and welcome and show her some nation-building movement love. So, Sister LaToya Neal, can you come front and center, ma'am, and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Walaikum salam, ma'am.
For those who are not Muslim, peace and blessings to everyone. My name is LaToya Neal, and I am a Hebrew Israelite. And what we are taught that the so-called blacks of America and those from the four corners of the earth are the original Israelites, not the Israelites you see over there in Israel right now. Yes, I'm a single black female in America, and I would like to get married one day, and I hope to gain a lot of knowledge and understanding from today's lesson.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for being so willing to participate and join us tonight. And, you know, I don't want the brothers to feel left out. I know you all might be sitting back listening, chilling or whatever, but you're welcome to join in the conversation. So I'm going to yield to Sister Yatira, and these are the things we're going to cover. We're going to cover virtue, trials, temptation, motherhood, and men. So if there's a question that you want to pose, Sister Yatira, go right ahead.
Okay, yes, ma'am. First and foremost, I want to open up properly in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah who appeared in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad, and I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ, and that the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder amongst us today. Again, I want to greet all of our listeners, all of our my panelists, with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam, ma'am.
Thank you, thank you. Well, I just want to open up and just, you know, I kind of want this to be, well, for me, you know, I'm not directing this to anyone, just a broad open, you know, to open up the floor with. But, you know, what the topic that we're talking about, virtue, you know, what does that mean to you as a black single woman, you know, with media saying this about, you know, how we dress, how we look, sex appeal this, sex appeal that, you know, what does virtue mean to you as a single black woman wanting to get married, Muslim, Hebrew Israelite, or no affiliation to any open question, open floor.
Okay, so Sister Yatira?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, your voice is sounding kind of muffled. So can you repeat the question just one more time?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Can you all hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, yes, ma'am. The question again is this, in today's society, with, you know, media telling us what sex appeal is and, you know, what a man wants and things of that nature, what does virtue mean to you as a single black woman, you know, wanting to get married, wanting to be with a man? What does virtue mean to you?
Can I say something to that?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. What virtue is conducting ourselves according to the word of God, Allah. Okay? If we go back and read Proverbs 31, there's a whole list, word to word, of what a virtuous woman is supposed to be and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves, how we speak. We ought to speak according to how God wants us to be. Our language is supposed to match with God, Allah. Now, how are we supposed, you know, if we're saying that we're Allah's or God's chosen people, how can people see that, you know, if we're blending in with the worldly people? They're not going to see that. We're supposed to be that light. So if we're going to be that light, our language, our wardrobe, the way we conduct, the way we speak, the way we think has to be different from the outside world. The outside world, the women are dressed and half butt naked, you know, look like street prostitutes. The way they speak, they're loud. Their conversation is, it's not even educated. You know, it's very worldly. So that's just my two cents about what is being virtuous.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that.
Definitely. Well, we know that, man, virtue itself is, you know, it's a behavior. One who shows, you know, it's a high moral standard according to the dictionary. One who shows worthiness. And so, to me, as a black woman, raising two black women and raising a young black man who wants him to marry one day a young black virtuous sister. Virtue means a woman who, as a sister said, definitely knows how to have the characteristics of how to carry herself, not being loud, not being boisterous, which we know the black woman was taught to be loud, was taught to be boisterous, was taught to be evident herself. So we are learning how to be virtuous women. We are learning, coming into the knowledge of ourselves. God said he hates a loud woman because it's like the brand of an ass to his ears. So we have to be very cautious of being loud and boisterous and how we carry ourselves. The one thing that I find with most of our black young women nowadays, the biggest thing they do is tight jeans, low cut, showing their, you know, their shapely manners and tight shirts and things of that nature, 6 inch heels, and all his hair, all his nails, basically stuff of this world. And I look at our sisters and I say, dang, you know, I want to teach them so bad, but the reality of it is we have been so conditioned to think that if we don't have on these long eyelashes, these long nails, this long, what's it called, Brazilian hair, that we're not considered beauty.
Right.
But the black woman just being her natural self is beauty all in its own. When you look at a woman versus the black woman, and I'm not trying to demean or any other culture, but it's reality. I look at our black women, and this is makeup list. I'm going to say that because makeup really messes us up. It really hurts and hinders us. But to each of them, the messenger said that some of us have to wear because, you know, we've been so messed up with this world. So, unfortunately, some of our sisters, unfortunately, you do have to wear. But a lot of our sisters, if you know how to take care of yourself, you really don't need makeup. You got a natural oil-based beauty that comes from you that when you eat the right food, and that is what really count. It says that a virtuous woman in the Bible would go far to gather food for her family. She would go far to feed her children. She will take care of her home. That, as a matter of fact, it says that a woman that's of discourse and this nature, you should put her on the roof of the house when she is of that nature. So we were taught to be other than ourselves, not to blame us totally and completely, because when we know better, we do better. So to me, my duty as a woman that knows better is to teach. You know, and how do you teach? You can't go to a woman that's been of this world and wear things like that and have things like that and say, girl, you look a hot food mess. No. You have to teach by being the example, by walking. So when they come up to you and say, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. I get little children going to come up to me, and they look at me and they say, and they just smile because they see something different, or they'll come up to me and they'll hug me because they see something different other than what they're used to. See, everybody, all the children are used to their mothers wearing tight clothes, and they're used to their mothers wearing hair down their backs, and they're used to their mothers wearing tight jeans and being form and shapely. I put on a pair of shorts just around the house to clean up around, and my son like, Mama, put on some clothes, you're naked, what are you doing? You know, because he's not used to seeing my legs. He's not used to that. So we have to be the example that the world, the entire world is looking for. We're taught in our book of femininity, and we're taught in our supreme wisdom how to act at home and how to act at broad. Well, why are we taught these things? Because we are looked at as the woman of the new civilization that is to come into being, the woman that covers herself up. See, the devil, he took our clothes off. And he told us we can wear short this and short that. And so by the 20, 30, 40, 50s, you start seeing women of different character, different nature. Now you see these women of high society putting their clothes back on, and they looking down at us and saying, look, these women are naked. But you taught us to be naked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, praise be to Allah. I'm going to go ahead and shut up in a minute. But, you know, we don't understand what we're doing to ourselves, because we was taught to take off our clothes. We was taught to take off our headpieces. The Bible tells us that a woman should cover up her bosom with a head covering down to her breast. So Christian women, women you see, nuns, they wear head coverings. Every woman, mostly over in the East cultures, in the East countries instead of the European countries, they wear headpieces. They wear coverings. You know what I'm saying? Even in Rome, the women of Rome, a lot of the Jewish, even the Jewish women, they wear head coverings. It's only the English women, the English woman that has taken off her head covering, that has taken off her the virtuous things. And then, and what do you see? You see rapes. You see murder. You see things that's just savagery. And then you say, oh well, it all stems from the black woman, because she's acting a fool. No, we was taught to act a fool. We're not, we're acting other than ourselves, but our women at our home, our true home, coming from over east, they're covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be retrained. We taught how to be what we are naturally, which is a virtuous woman.
Absolutely. Queen, peace and heart tonight.
Yes, like always. And you know what? We have Sister Michelle from San Diego that has joined us. So, assalamu alaikum, Sister Michelle. Come on.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. Wa alaikum salam, family.
Yes, ma'am. Well, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself that we don't already know, but go ahead and accommodate us anyway.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Sister Michelle 2X. Out of San Diego, Muhammad's Mosque number 8. I'm a black single woman, of course. I'm the mother of 8 children, 5 daughters, and 3 sons. I think that's about all that you might not already know about me.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, do you have any exegesis you want to share with us on virtue? Because that's what we were talking about. Virtue.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I was listening, yeah. Well, yes, ma'am. As my sisters was talking, it reminded me of a movie that I watched one. I think it was called The Time Machine, where this man enters a time machine, and he starts watching. He starts to go. He goes into the future. Then he starts to go backwards in time, right? But no, let me change that. He starts to go into the future. And what I noticed in there is that he only had his eyes focused one place in the movie, and it was on the dress shop. And what I noticed in there, as time went forward into the future, the styles of the woman changed. So we started off way back in, I don't know, maybe like early 1900s or something, and the dress of the woman was that she had something on her head, you know. She was covered, you know, all the way down to her hands, even had gloves on, all the way up to her neck. But as time moved on and he kept passing this very same dress shop, the clothing got less and less. The dresses got shorter and shorter. And that's virtually what's been happening to us. We weren't, you know, well, yeah, that's what's been happening to us in society. As society has got into the future, it's less and less dress. I've never seen this type of dressing that's going on now, where, you know, excuse my French, the butt cheeks are hanging out as we're walking down the street, and these children have, I won't say that they don't have any pride, you know, because some of them was not taught. I think that's the problem. Our children are not being taught that which they need. They have followed examples. I've always tried to be an example to my children, not just tell them, don't do this, but don't do it myself. Because as the minister says, they're not listening to what you say. They're watching what you're doing, and they are definitely, you know, copying you. And so most of the times you're going to find that the child has imitated. I said most of the time because this is not always true. But most of the time the daughter is mimicking what she has seen her mother do or some other people in her family that's had a influence on her. Minister Farrakhan made a statement. I'm going to paraphrase this. He was talking about the show, the award show, whatever you call that thing, and about how Beyonce was prancing around on stage. I mean, and he said something key. He said that when the children are little, he said about 3 or 4 years old, and he said when you're sitting there and you're watching it, you're sending a message to that child. Even though you might, I'm adding this point here, send that child off to another room, the child already knows what you're watching. So in the child's mind, you have just told them this is okay because you lead by example. So if you're watching it, in their mind, it's okay. So if they actually see you moving like that on the dance floor, I don't care if it is a house party and stuff, you've once again told them that it was okay. So the best way, you know, I believe, to raise our children is to lead by example, because that's exactly what they're going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
All praises be to Allah.
And it's like Louis Farrakhan said and Elijah Muhammad said, the woman is the teacher. You know, it starts with the woman. Because like you just said, our children are watching us. We are to teach our children, and it starts in the home. So if they're seeing the mother dressing like a whore and the way the mother is speaking, what do you think that child, the daughter, is going to do when she leave out of the household? She's going to start wearing the mini skirts and attract thugs and losers that are on the streets because she's seeing mama, you know, carrying herself like that. And the mothers today are wondering, like, why is my daughter getting pregnant? Why is she getting caught up in this and this? Then, you know, what are you doing as the mother? What are you teaching her? So it starts at the home, and I see what, you know, Minister Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad were saying. It starts with the mother because she is the teacher.
Yes, ma'am.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Y'all knew we were talking about this. Y'all was prepared for tonight, huh? Lord have mercy.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to bounce off of what my sisters have said. I mean, virtue is such a, I think it's just such a big topic. You know, I feel like we should have a show on virtue just because of, you know, what it means. You know, what it really means and then what society has. And, wow, y'all touch on so many different things. I can't even get mine straight on everything. But I just know, you know, just on some of the things as far as just the Michelle, you were just talking about, you know, the minister speaking on the girls who watch Beyonce, you know, just that type of thing. And I just, you know, I've seen it all, seems like, where, you know, mothers want to be like twinsies with the babies, you know, dressing her in the same outfit that she's wearing with the earrings, with the makeup, you know, even lipstick, you know, just some kind of color on the face or something. And then it's like when they get older, it's like, oh, you're pregnant at 14. Why did that happen? You know, you when we train our women, when we train our girls at a young age that, you know, you can be half naked, it's okay, you know. And the type of responses that I'm used to getting when I, you know, just with friends that I've, you know, talked to about the importance of covering up, you know, their response is more like, well, I'm comfortable with my body, so I should be able to show it off type of thing. And it's like, you know, you could be comfortable with yourself, but that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, it's for the world. And, I mean, I just think that virtue is something that, I mean, the whole training could just be, you know, it needs to be done on us, because we really feel like in order for the world to seem what they're called beautiful, in order for us to attract a man, you know, just in order for us to get the attention that we want to have, we have to be half naked, and we have to be, you know, we have to be loud, and we got to be, you know, and when I say loud, I don't just mean with our voices.
Mm-hmm.
We got the loud hairstyle that my sister mentioned, the nails. I mean, we just screaming for attention, but, you know, in all honesty, a man doesn't want that. You know, a man doesn't want that forever. You know, oh, you caught my attention for this moment. You caught my attention for this night. But, you know, I'm not bringing you home to my mom. You know what I mean? So it's like, but we still don't pick that hint. Even though we are seeing that, even though we've gone through it, we're still not saying, you know, is something wrong with me? Do I need to, you know, it's just like, okay, well, fine. You wasn't the one. On to the next one with the same mindset. So, I mean, kudos to what's been said so far. Queen, did you want to add anything or present a question?
Hello? She there?
She's probably on mute.
Yes, ma'am. I think the sisters handled it very, very well. I mean, it's nothing more that I could add. Everybody was on point with that. But, you know, I just want to say that, you know, we as black women in particularly have a responsibility within the sisterhood to reach out and encourage, and not to come in a way where we are demeaning our sisters, but to give them a better understanding of how valuable they are. And you have to also understand that a lot of times the behavior doesn't necessarily stem from parents that are in the home, but it often comes from that first relationship with that man. And if that first relationship with that man is not with a father and a decent father, because sometimes the relationship with the father can be kind of awkward too, but if your father was not the biggest influence in your life as far as a male figure, and the first person that you interacted with on an intimate level was a love interest, for the lack of a better expression, then the whole aspect of your value and your worth gets twisted, because this is the only form of intimate expression that you are aware of. And so years later, it becomes a habit. And so we as women have to get back to knowing ourselves, our purpose, and the only way we can know that is to know our God. So that's all I wanted to add to that. Let's see.
Yes, ma'am. And again, to our listening audience, if you want to make any comments or ask questions, if you're on the phone, please press 1 on your dial pad. And I guess, Queen, you have up the chat rooms and that.
Yes, I have my Yahoo and my Google chat going, and Blog Talk chat is open. So anyone who has a question, press 1. And Brother Levi, I see you out there, so I expect to hear from you tonight. I'm teasing him. Yes, sir. Okay, yes, ma'am. All right, so can we quickly move on to trials, because that is something that we have all to hear from my sisters on this particular issue. So the trials of the single black female. Who wants to go? And I want to hear from you, Sister Yatira, because you really are representing that age group, you know, that young, fresh out of high school, impressionable age group. So what are the trials that young women go through?
Ooh. Oh. Put me on the spot like that. Okay.
Yes, she did.
Wow. Well, I could say, ooh, as a young woman, a young Muslim in America, the trials are real. Oh my goodness, Queen, I really don't even know what I'm trying to think of, what spectrum, you know, what side of the spectrum to go from. I mean, just on this topic, being a single sister, striving to be right, you know, really coming out of the world and getting rid of, get rid of all of the mindsets and all the thought processes and, you know, the training that we just brainwashing pretty much, just getting a brainwash and trying to now live, you know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, striving to live right is a real struggle, you know, with the whole world against you. You know, people who trying to do right, and then you have your friends, and then you have your family who just don't understand, or they condemn you for trying to be right by, you know, calling you, saying that you're, you know, now you're holier than thou just because you're trying to be right. Oh, you're better than us because you're trying to be right. You know, even when it's, you know, you're never saying that I'm better than you, or just because I'm saying no, I'm not going to go out with you tonight. Oh, you think you're too good. I mean, I'm not too good for y'all, but I'm too good for that scene. You know, I'm better than going out to the club for what, you know, to be touched on by men, to, you know, I want to do this to you, I want to dance, you know, grind on me. You know, it's like I'm trying to do better, but those who I thought were there for me, you don't support me in me trying to, you know, raise up from this. I mean, struggling with, you know, just being a single sister, period. You know, I think I speak to a lot of women when I say, you know, we all want to be married. You know, we want to find our soulmate. We want to find, you know, just that, you know, that special man. So I think a general struggle probably would be not trying to look for a man, you know, not trying to put yourself out there, not trying to look like, you know, I'm single and I'm ready to get married, any takers, you know, but trying to really build your relationship and focus on God, you know, really trying to focus on Allah and learning Him and, you know, building that. That's like your first true marriage, you know, when you're single, that's what you really focus on. And then just trying not to focus on where's he at? Oh, there's a new brother that's here. You know, is that him? And, you know, not too much on focusing on looking for him, because, like the Bible says, you know, a man that finds a good woman finds a good thing. So we're not supposed to be looking for our men, but in the world, not saying that it's a bad thing to, you know, look, I guess, but it's a lot different when you're in the world. It's really common for nowadays, anyway, for girls to approach men or ask men out, or like that's something that it takes place a lot more. So just patience is a struggle, and, you know, trying to be righteous in a world full of people who are against you is a struggle. The trials are real, y'all. This ain't no game.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else?
Oh, yes, ma'am, Sister Michelle. I think one of the things that plays a big factor in this is modern technology. And modern technology really makes it more difficult to teach the young women and the young girls virtue. You know, as I was driving with my two daughters today, like I said, I have five daughters, so I hear the talk among them, and they talk to me. You know, certain shows, like they brought up Love and Hip Hop. Love and Hip Hop has made the side chick the new chick. Like, it's okay to have the mistress on the side, you know? And then being Mary Jane, I was just totally appalled, because
very
at the end of one of the shows, she was really saying, I want to be like Mary Jane. So I want to be the sad chick, because that's what they see that's being portrayed on TV right now. And see, what we're seeing now, it just really shows why we need total separation. Because the pull is so strong on our young people, even if they have been raised in the mosque, since they go, you know, to school, you know, and a lot of their friends are not in the mosque, that's another influence right there. And it really does, especially nowadays, take a village to raise a child. But that village must be separated from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as the enemy is present, there's going to be a pull there. They're going to have some influence over our children. You know, I used to think that people like the Quakers, were wrong. But now I see what they were trying to accomplish. Because the Bible says, raise a child up the way it should go and it will not depart. It's not so much that it won't depart, but it will have the foundation. And it'll be like the prodigal son, and they'll know where to come back to. But when a child doesn't have a foundation in God, in Allah, what is it going to come back to? So we're just in that time, especially right now with modern technology, where total separation is the only answer for our young people. It's the only answer for us as a people. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and Sister LaToya?
Well,
what are some of the trials?
The trials I'm dealing with at the moment is, as a woman of God, is, I guess, not actually binding, but hoping to get a man, a husband, rooted in the Word of God. And we see the type of society we live in, you know, and from my experience, from dealing with men who portray themselves as being rooted in the Word of God, is still in that world, you know, and that's one of my biggest fears, is wondering, will I ever get married? Because I see the men in this world, in this society, in this world, especially here in America, they still have, and I hate saying this, but the devil in them. You know, I hate using that term, but they still have that worldly mindset.
That's right.
That worldly ways. And it don't fit with what I want as a protector, a head covering. You know, as a father of my future kids. So that's one of the trials I'm dealing with right now.
Yes, ma'am. And Sister Jamie.
You really want me to answer this?
Yes, ma'am. Bring the pain, as they say. Bring the pain.
That's right. I'm not. Okay. Well, the trials of the black woman, we have so many. We are, unfortunately, majority of the black women homes, we the head, which it should not be. We are the providers. We are the doctors. We are the lawyers. We are the cleaners. We are the maids. We are the everything. We are. We got so much on our heads, and it's like we being poor every which way, but then they say, oh, black woman, you need to not be loud. You need to not be so out there. You need to not slow down. You need to do this. It's like we got so much that's on us, and all praise is due to Allah. You know, no complaints, none whatsoever, because it makes us strong, you know what I'm saying, to be able to carry the weight, to be able to build a new nation, because the nation is going to be built by the woman, a black woman. Period. This new world that's coming into existence is going to be built on the womb of the black woman. So all praise due to Allah for whatever reason he allowing us to go through the trials. And let me say this. Allah didn't create himself without trials and struggle. He had to go through a process. And in that process, there was pain. In that process, there was much darkness, and in that process, there was much loneliness. He had no second self. He searched within himself and found that second self, which was that woman, but he only had the womb of the universe to bring himself into existence. He was lonely many days. So I'm saying that to say this to my black sisters, that we out here, that's lonely. Even though we are alone, we not alone. Because we can reach into the universe of creation and will into existence everything we want. If we do not have that husband we do not want, fine. Create that man, that perfect man that we are looking for through our sons. Bring them up in the way that they should go, so that we, this next generation,
generation that's coming after us won't be singing the same song, crying the same wounds that we as black women are crying today. The reason why there is no righteous man, because there is no righteous woman. Like the minister say, giving birth to a God. You have to give birth to what we seek. You understand? 75%, yet again, I bring it back to us. 75% of this work has to do with us. Three-quarters of the earth is water. We have to birth into existence a change of thought, a change of existence, a change of mind, a change of everything. Our men ain't right because the Willie Lynch tells us to make the woman strong, put her on top, but make the man weak. Put him at the bottom. So then we wonder why we got these crying men talking about some, man, baby, what you going to cook tonight? Man, baby, what you going to do for me? Oh, baby, baby, baby. That's the problem. You don't want to be a man. You don't want to get up off that couch. You don't want to do this. And I'm not saying this to all my brothers that are strong and stand up. All praises due to Allah, my hat. My everything is off to you and I tip it. But to those brothers that sitting up there whining and crying, I don't blame you totally. I don't blame you completely because you was born and you was, how can I say, designed to act the way you act. But when you know better, you do better. And so the trials of the black woman comes from us needing a new paradigm of education of how we as black women need to treat ourselves, need to treat our womb, need to treat what comes out of that womb. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, it's okay to grow up your children to be strong black women, but when are you going to grow your men up to be strong black men? Stop allowing them to sit on the couch. See, they can't do no more than us than what we allow them to do. We cook, we clean, we do everything. Brother told me one day, you provide my every need. Why I got to go out there? I said, oh, my God. Did this brother just say this to me?
Oh, but my
yes,
Lord.
He came out of his mouth. He said, you do everything I want, everything I need. What I got to go out there for? And you provide me everything. I said, oh, Allah. See, me as a woman, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But he felt in his mental warp, man. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't me, but I accepted it, so it was me. You understand what I'm saying? So I woke up and stopped being a fool. See, we allow ourselves to be fools. You understand what I'm saying? We as women, we allow ourselves to be fools, and then we sit up here wondering why we got fools sitting up here in our home because we allow ourselves to have fools in our home. It's going to take the black woman to stop allowing things to happen. We allow it. And the more and more we allow it, the more and more they get away with it. But this brother literally came out his mouth and said, you provide everything I need. What I need to go out there for? And I looked at him. Don't believe, know, and understand, shortly after that we did break up, all praises due to Allah, because I was trying to marry this fool. But, you know, we gotta we gotta understand that we have to stop allowing ourselves as women to allow a man to be less than what he is supposed to be. He ain't bringing home what he ain't supposed to be bringing home. Let go of him. He ain't trying to be the man, go out there and do what he's supposed to do. Let go of him. When a man get up for you, and it's my trial. My trial is trying not to be so much of a man. That's my problem. I ain't going to lie. I run men off. Dude, seriously, this what you on? For real? Dude, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do as a woman. I'm too strong. And I don't look at that as a bad thing because a man is going to do what he going to do, going to get up and make it happen. He ain't going to make no excuses. He going to be able to handle this strong woman because together, my strength and his strength, we going to build a nation. No back cuts. We going to do what to do. So we need to, as women, stop allowing our brothers to be able to just give us excuses. I understand that we won't, and sometimes we get a little lonely, so we accept, we compromise. The more we compromise, the more we compromise, and the more we allow ourselves to just accept our brothers for what they are, then we are allowing ourselves to be basically, how do I say, dependent
on nothingness. And I'm going to go ahead and let that go. My mind kind of went sideways when somebody knocked my door at 9 o'clock at night. But all praise due to Allah, it was a wrong dog. So all praise, I'm done with that conversation. But we got to stop. My mind went somewhere else, y'all. I went on security mode. Y'all got to excuse me. But
No problem. Hold that post. To walk your post in a perfect manner.
And always. And keep always on the alert. So all praise due to Allah. But that was my thought. All praise due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, let me just say this. You know, I think what we lose sight of oftentimes as women is that when we talk about power and when we talk about strength, of us who are in pursuit of a man, we really, really start to lean on that feminine soft side and try to make ourselves appealing to him. And, of course, never wanting to intimidate him by being cocky and brash or whatever you want to call it. But there is that natural, quiet, but very, very strong woman that lies in all of us. And I just want to say to my sisters, you know, inshallah, we don't have this going on in the nation. And if it is, then it is. But, I mean, I'm not here to judge. But what I want to say is that women, sisters, you have the power. And I'm not trying to be vulgar, but anybody who know me know I'm going to bring it real. You have the power to make a man for Allah. If that is the true desire of his heart. And just because you marry a Muslim, that doesn't mean that he's going to be just a number one top soldier from the time you get married. He has to evolve into that man for Allah. And you have the power and the tool, if you know what I mean, to change an entire society, because a man will do what he has to do to get a woman. But if the woman, as we are taught, if the nation rises no higher than the woman, and if the woman doesn't raise her standard, then you cannot expect the man to raise his. You cannot expect a man to act like a man when we acting like whores in the street. You just can't expect
that. Say that with headpieces on. Say that.
Well, I don't know about that. But
I'm sorry. Am I being too much of a witness saying that?
Well, we just have to be real, and we have to be honest and know that real men, and I'm talking about real men who desire real women, will do exactly what they need to do to get you. So raise the standard. Raise your standard. And don't use the saying that Allah is sufficient for us and not mean it. But know how to apply that old cliche when you say Allah is sufficient for you. Yeah, I know it's Saturday night. You want to be laid up in the arms of some brother or your husband or whatever it is, but you have not found one who is worthy of your time and your company. And so sometimes you get discouraged, and sometimes you get lonely, and sometimes you say, well, why am I doing all this, and why have I done it for so long, and I still don't have no husband, I still don't have no man. Well, you have to allow Allah to be sufficient for you, because your patience is a trial.
Say that.
Your patience is a trial. And then when you do, you know, or when you are blessed with a husband, then you have been so well prepared for him, because you use that time alone to study self, to get to know yourself, to establish your relationship with Allah, and you're strong in that foundation, which is going to be a magnet for him to come to you if that's what he desires, or even if it even if he desires and he's struggling with it, he will straighten up just to be with you, just to be in your light, in your horizon. But it's us. Sisters, you want to talk about these men being low-down, dirty dogs? Well, guess what? They only dogs because you let them bite.
Say that.
And you would not let them bite. Then ain't no way they can really be no dog. But we can't have it both ways. We can't give ourselves away and then expect to be kept.
Say that.
You're making yourself disposable. So we have a responsibility to our men. And it's
yes.
not that responsibility of being mother, of being caretaker. The responsibility is just to be a real woman.
That's it.
And that's all I wanted to say on that.
Praise be to Allah. You said mouthful, Queen.
Oh, yes. Please, may I ask something real quick?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that I just love that we are on the same accord. Because I'm not as well spoken as you, sisters, all the way I put stuff together so powerfully. But that was Sister Jane that was speaking, I think. And she, Sister Jane, you know you just, good Lord. But anyway.
I got a lot of energy, Sister Interior, girl. I got a lot of energy. All praise due to Allah.
That's my soldier right there. That's my soldier
no.
right there.
Yes, ma'am. And you said two things that really stuck out to me that I think is so important for, you know, us as black women to really understand when you were talking about, you know, not settling. A song came to my head, Ashanti, and she says that one verse. She says, you know, all the things that we accept be the things that we regret. And it's just we really feel like, oh, because I want a man so bad that I know he, you know, I know he works a lot, and then some days that he's, you know, some days he don't come home. I know where he's really at, but, you know, he pays my bills, and, you know, I'll take being second, or I'll take him mistreating me because I'm getting this benefit of him, instead of us being like, oh, you rather be, instead of having that Beyonce mindset, since I'm not your everything, how about I'll be nothing to you? You know what I mean? So with that being said, you know, just taking it a little step further, on a different note, it's like we don't, you know, what strength is, you know, I personally think that we confuse or we feel like we have to being strong. It's like two, I don't know, it's like we battle with two different ways. On one hand, being strong, some women is, you know, he treats me wrong, but I stick it out. So, you know, that makes me really strong because, you know, I handle this and I still stay with him when he just mistreats me and cheats on me year after year and even had this child with this woman and this child, but I stay with him. That makes me strong, you know, or it's, the thoughts are coming, but they're going just as fast as they're coming. Being strong and thinking that you have to, sisters, forgive me, it left my head that quick. But that strength, you know, it's okay to be a strong woman, but, you know, we still have to play our part in being a woman and really allowing a man to be a man and, you know, and still not settling either. So, Sister Jane, you said a mouthful, and you just really touched me, but I can't get it all out. But y'all already said everything. I'm just trying to get my two cents in, that's all.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All praise to Allah. Okay, we want to hear from the listening audience. Don't make me start opening mics and calling names. We want to hear your views on this topic. So if you have a question or a comment, press 1. Those of you in the chat room, some of these questions I'm not going to even ask. Y'all know y'all tripping. Okay. Okay, Brother Joshua wants to know, how does a woman overcome sexual desires while refraining from sex. Okay. Because, you know, that falls right along with in temptation. And I'm just gonna say this. You know, I don't talk about that on the air, but it just really, I just spoke to that when we say allow Allah to be sufficient for you. But for sisters who may want to know a way to deal with that struggle, because it is a struggle, and you know, I'm not fickle and stuck up or anything like that. I mean, I'm a natural woman. I love men, and yes, we as women, we do have sexual desires. Okay, that's a given. But how we deal with that, and it's just like I said, we allow Allah to be sufficient for us. Because I'm going to tell you something, sister. It's not, there's not anything on the planet worth displeasing Allah. So if you want to give that brother that 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, whatever it is, of yourself to him and lose your virtue and lose your value and lose your place with Allah. Allah loves the patient. Allah loves the believer who believes in him. He's a jealous God, but that jealousy, it has a wide variation. He wants you to allow him to be the God. And you have to be patient and allow him to be sufficient for you. Not just say, oh, Allah is going to supply my needs, but faith without works is dead.
Absolutely.
You have to carry it into practice. So if you don't believe that Allah is going to furnish you a husband at his time, not at your time, if you don't believe that, then go and do your thing. But nothing is worth displeasing Allah. And if you don't believe fat meat is greasy, what has always served as a reminder to me is go back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And look how long ago that has been. And look at Sodom today, and not a blade of grass grows there. That's a very significant symbol or reminder, because once you deliberately disobey Allah, then you're never blessed again. And that is what that represents. But Allah loves people so much that he allow you to repent. He allow you to atone. But you can't keep making the same mistakes over and over again and hitting the prayer rug and say, oh, Allah, forgive me for fornicating on Monday. Then come back and say the same thing on Tuesday. Then come back and say the same thing on Wednesday, knowing that you intentionally went out there and did what you was going to do. And you didn't try to restrain yourself. You just said, well, I'm going to do this here, and then I'm going to come home, and I'm going to do 40 rakahs, and I'm going to be good. No. No. Allah knows your heart. Jesus says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the devil will make a fool out of you in a minute, because you will show your ignorant self, and you won't even know it. So in those, and for your question, Brother Joshua, we should allow Allah to be sufficient for us and keep in mind that nothing is worth displeasing Allah. Okay, we're going to take a call from the phone. Area code 469, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum, sisters.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Frank X from Dallas, Texas.
I just had
a comment earlier when I listened to the sister talk about, you know, being a strong black woman. And it just came to my mind is, how many sisters are really willing to work with a brother? And by that, I mean, you know, we all have in our head the idea of the perfect mate that we want. You know, we want a mate that's 6 feet tall with six pack, making six figures. Well, is it okay if he's, you know, 5 foot five and, you know, has a little gut, but he makes, what's the, you know, Whataburger? If you're really strong, are you willing to work with him and build him up? Learn how to speak to him in a way where, you know, if you see he's willing to work and he's not trying to live underneath you, but you feel like maybe he's not the man that you need right now, are you willing to say or learn how to talk to him in a way to where he can go and get that better job or work with him on his strength if you feel like he's not strong enough? Because some of us have this ideal in our minds of we want this person and we're not going to settle for nothing else, but that person is right there. He just hasn't developed to that point yet because he still needs time. And the minister says that, you know, in order to be a good man, he has to have a good woman. And you can't be a good woman unless you have a good man. So it takes the two to build each other. Because sometimes we get this ideal in our head and we build ourselves up on who we are and how good of a person we think we are that we forget about our faults. And so when we're picking out mates or a potential mate approaches us, we instantly zoom in on that he has the right materials that he can be that good man. Because I'm a strong black woman, so if he can't handle me, then I don't need him. But you can speak life into that man, so well, one day he is that king you need and can, quote-unquote, put you in your place. I didn't want to say it in a bad way, but, you know, to be that man. But sometimes we overlook the person that, you know, is right there in front of us because we're looking for that six-figure man instead of that man who's working two jobs at McDonald's and Arby's. He's willing to work. He's willing to grow, but we don't want that because we feel like sometimes that's beneath me. But it's just how many of us are really willing to work with the person to help them grow, to help them to become what it is that we want in a mate, instead of, you know, always throwing them to the side and saying that person is not for me because he don't make enough money right now. That's my comment.
Can I answer that?
I guess so. I think if we don't, she might just blow up. Go ahead.
But it's no situation. Okay. Brother, I got to say this in all praise to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. My Bye. Thing is this. I take you blind, crippled, a little bit fat, but I can't do crazy. Because a real woman, a real strong woman, a woman who know who she is and comfortable with herself, number one, she know how to eat to live, so she going to get that gut up off of you. She know how to get up out in these streets and make money and hustle and raise her man to be able to make money and hustle. Because a real woman ain't finna tell her man, go out here and work on somebody's slave job. She going to create a job from the home, from the get anyway. So don't worry about making a little bit of money because she going to make sure you make some money. You ain't got to worry about that. A real woman going to sit up here. She going to make sure you come home to a clean home. She going to make sure you come home to some clean clothes. She going to make sure you come home to some good loving. And she going to make sure you go out there and you sell them final calls and that bean pass because you're going to go out there and raise our people. That's your duty as a Muslim man, period. Now, I got to say this. A real woman. Now, there are some women out there that's still connected to this world. And I'm going to say it like this. They even got on headpieces, okay? So those unfortunate women, they want these $1,400 a month home, $1,500 a month home. They want these $500 a month car notes. They want all everything that you can't get them, and then you sit up here running blind and crazy, not understanding why you can't seem to get your wife in order and get your home in order because you ain't got the right wife. So just as we said about the woman, as far as getting it in order and waiting and being patient on a lot and wait, you need to sit up there and wait on that right woman too. Every woman, in the same way you said, but she might not be perfect. Every woman don't want the way of this world. Every woman might not be that pop bottle movie star woman. Got a little bit of gut on her. But see, when you come together and y'all work on each other and y'all feed on each other, because I ain't gonna lie, I like to eat. It's a substitute. All praises due to Allah. But I am a righteous Muslim woman. I'm gonna get out here and I'm gonna make it do what it do. I might not be at my 120. Praise be to Allah. I'm striving, though. You understand what I'm saying? Every day, yep. I'm striving, though. And I might not be the more I'm a go, as you can very much see, I don't take no bull crap. So I'm going to say a little something. But when it comes to that house, in the end, I got a king. And that's his throne. And I ain't going to never disrespect him on his throne. And I ain't going to never disrespect him outside while he's in front of people, while he on that throne. And so if you got a woman that's doing that to you, if you got a woman that's loud and boisterous in front of other people, she don't respect you and she wearing them pants. So we got to understand, we got to not try to rush in with our Lord self, or my son to say, or the minister to say, our lower triangle. But we got to start thinking on it with our higher triangle. Everything that look good ain't good for you. I tell my children this all the time. You might get bit. Don't think because it look good on the outside. When you start reading that book, a person is who they are. They can change if they want to change. As I said, he changes not the conditions of a man or a woman or people until they first change their own condition. So you got to want to be better. You got to want to do better. We ain't perfect. We have been taught to hate ourselves from the cradle to the grave. We've been taught that. And unfortunately, we are sick as black people, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. We sick. We'll go spend our money on nothingness before we go spend our money on righteousness. And we don't even want to support our own. So we sick. And unfortunately, it's going to take God himself to come and remove this sickness that is within us. We need medicine. So you short, you fat folk, I take you. You a little crippled, I take you, because I know how to do natural healing. You got to look. But see, my thing is, are you righteous? Are you willing to go out here and do the work of Allah in your wheelchair? Are you willing to go out here and do the work of Allah and you blind? Make the people see with the words, because you might not be able to see physically, but you can see spiritually. So I take you. I sure will, but are you working for Allah? I don't want no Negroes or pimp and bow ties, for that matter. Give me a righteous man. And hey, black cripple, but I can't do crazy. But all praise due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my Lord.
Lord, take a breath. Take it in, out, please.
Okay. Brother, what's your name?
Brother Frank Ash from Dallas, Texas.
Okay, Brother Frank. Okay, all right. All right, anyone else want to respond to Brother Frank's question?
Yes, ma'am, I will. Personally, I find it to be that way, just not with the men, you know, but when the men are choosing a mate, you know, for themselves, too. I think this works both ways. I could personally speak to me. I did what the minister said, and I know a lot of men don't appreciate this because they told me, you know, based, how dare you study me? But I heard the minister say one time, study that man. I study men to see how they move. I know the condition. I understand the condition that the black man is in, especially the black man that's a grown up in the wilderness of North America. I got a lot of love for my black brothers. Matter of fact, I don't want anything but a black brother. Okay? And I understand that condition. And that's one of the things that I bring to the table. Now, one of the problems that I'm seeing as a woman, you know, that's counted against me is my age. Okay? Because I find a lot of brothers want younger women because they still want to produce children. All I got to say to that is that when you get past a certain age, please find you something else to do, okay? Leave the childbirthing to the younger generation. That's all I got to say on that, you know? And another thing I find to be the problem, too, is the financial situation. See, I grew up in an old-fashioned household. Well, if the woman worked, she was allowed to work. You know, my mom asked permission to work. She worked. But her duties at home still have to be taken care of. Of course, my daddy would contribute. But, you know, by the fact that she wanted to work, that didn't relieve her of a responsibility. So I'm of an old-school mind. Let the woman be the woman. Let the man be the man, and the family going to get along just perfectly well if we stick to our natural roles. Now, there's only two men in the world that I'm not going to consider for marriage. That's the gay, down-low man, and that's the child molester, okay? Because you can't even be in the nation if you fall into that child molester. So I just want a righteous man. Now, that word righteous is big. That encompasses all. So if I ask for a righteous man, then I'm getting exactly what I want. He can be 5'6", okay, 5'5", okay? Allah is still working with me on that one. You know, But, yes, I would definitely, you know, take a brother just like the one that you have described. But the brothers have to be willing, too. You know, we not, some of us not no Beyonce's anymore, okay? So that's all I have to basically have to say on that. You know, we have to understand that we've been made to think a certain way. So we have to realize that if we knew what we was doing, we'd have a mate. If we really knew what we was doing, we'd be in the hereafter right now. Good homes, you know, friends in all walks of life, if we knew what we was doing. So
yes,
stop thinking that we know how to choose a mate. The teachings teach us how to choose a mate. So if we stay with the teachings and really listen to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and really listen to Minister Farrakhan, they give us all that we need in choosing a mate, doing for self, and anything else. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. This is what I was saying is, you know, because I do understand that the woman today, especially the single woman, has to be strong. She has to be able to pay her bills because she's single. It says how many women are really ready to step down from that role of being the head of the household, from being in control of finances. But I've been trained that when you're married, the woman shouldn't even see the bills come in the house. That when coming to mail, that's all you shouldn't even see that. So how many women are really ready? They say they want a good man, but then they might run them off because they feel like he's not doing it as fast as they want it to. Or he's not making moves the way I would do it, so I'm going to do it before him. You know, I told him last week that it's a house down the street for sale. He's going to look at it, but, you know, he decides to go do this or that. So, you know, he's not doing it fast enough for me. So how many women are really, you know, ready to I guess, deny their own strength, so to say. They have to say, I'm going to step aside because this man is trying to be a man. And, you know, he's doing the best he can. I'm not going to jump in front of him. I'm not going to try to, you know, be his teacher, so to say, but I'm going to let him continue to be trained, but I'm going to learn how to, you know, back down my road from being that independent, strong woman and let him be the man he needs to be.
All I can say to you, brother, is there's some women who are going to do it and there's some women who not. So you just have to choose carefully.
Okay. Where's Sister LaToya?
I'm right here.
Okay, we want to hear from you, Queen. Don't be quiet.
Basically, like the other two sisters were saying, I'm not really materialistic like that. Oh, he must have six figures and, you know, 6'4" built and, you know, like there was, it's about, you know, being righteous. Like I said in the beginning of the show, it's all about being righteous. You know, I'm 6'3". You know, I don't care if you're 5'9", 6'6", whatever, as long as you're rooted in that word. You know, because
I'm
not.
I'm sorry, did you say you 6'3"?
That's right, I'm 6'3".
You go ahead on, girl. All right. I'll praise the sister a lot. I always wanted to be tall. That was my fantasy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah, like I was saying, as long as you're rooted in that word and you can help me in the household, you know, lead us to Allah God, then, hey, we cool. You know, as long as you're not coming with no bull crap like the sister was saying, you know, it's all about righteousness.
Okay. Well, Brother Frank, oh, Lord, I'm an old woman. You know, I just want to say this to you, beloved, dear brother. You know, the first thing that you have to realize is that what the minister has said often to the FOI about the value of a woman is absolutely correct. But I don't know, and it's only because I cannot verify for myself. I don't know what he has said directly to the FOI, but I want to tell you that you, as a brother, are just as valuable and just as precious as a woman, because in the natural order of things, we can't do it without you, and you can't do it without us. So you are just as valuable as a woman in that aspect. Excuse me. So you have to choose a woman who you're evenly yoked with. It's all about personality and compatibility. Because even though you're a Muslim, every MGT is not compatible with you.
Absolutely.
Not even necessarily having to do with marriage, but sometimes just in friendship or brotherhood or sisterhood, it's just some personalities that are not compatible. So the thing is that you have to find someone who loves you for who you are, exactly who you are, who is willing to grow with you, who is willing to strive with you, who has enough faith and trust in you that you're going to be the man that Allah called you to be, and that she understands that that in itself is a process. So if you get married today and your wife has to work in order to maintain the lifestyle that you two decided that you both desire and wanted to maintain, then that's fine. But let her see in you the potential to one day, you know, take that burden off of her.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many couples who started out, and Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth in College Park, Georgia, are a perfect example.
Yes.
Brother Stanley just said on Thursday night, he said, I used to walk my wife to the bus stop for her to go to work for us. And then the sister turns around and says, we've been married for 23 years, and I think it's almost 24 now. But she has not worked in 23 years because as he grew in his Islam, he began to see the value of his wife more and more.
That's right.
And was striving harder and harder to get everything she needed so that he can make her sit at home. But it took time.
That's
it
right.
It was a process.
Mm-hmm.
And the marriage is about two people. It's not about one.
That's right.
So, brother, you are just as valuable, just as beautiful, just as precious, and you deserve to be treated well. It's not all about her. So if
That's
you
right.
have a sister that feels as though you're not good enough for her,
leave.
And you don't have what she needs, what? Then leave her where you find her. Because I'm going to tell you something about a brother, sister. If he has to go out and gather everything that he needs in order to make himself successful in his own eyes to accommodate his own wishes and goals, then if he done all that by himself, he really don't need you.
What you saying?
And the only thing you're going to end up being is a good time. So let's
That's
just
it.
Keep it 100. So if you're not willing to struggle with the man that you say you believe in, that you say that you love, then it's not love. It's convenience. And let me just say one more thing, and I'm going to shut up. I'm going to shut up after this. I say this all the time. I say this all the time, and I mean it because I've seen it. It's one thing to have a man to take care of you, and that's a beautiful thing if you can get it. But I have seen so many sisters who have men with money, and they have actually bought you. They bought you because you got a price tag hanging from your tail.
Come on. That miserable
so you
want to be.
Beat.
Come on.
You get your behind beat. You get mistreated. You get cussed out. And
Come
then
on.
When he's tired of you, you get put out.
Come on.
But you married him for his money. And so now we got women who are career women, and they make $100,000, $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you want somebody who makes the same money as you, but he don't love you.
Right.
But then the brother who has a vision, the brother who's striving, the brother who's struggling, but he has a vision and needs some help, you'll go and invest in Gucci and Fendi and buy all that hair that don't belong to you, that you didn't grow. You go invest your money in that, and you won't even invest your money in your brother, your man. And if he has a vision, if he has a plan, and if he's a good man to you, treat you like a queen, then invest in your man. And
That's
maybe
right.
in 3 to 5 years, he can turn it around and you be sitting down.
Say that.
But if you don't love him like that, and if you don't trust him like that, you ain't got no business dealing with him anyway. And I'm going to shut up. Anybody else want to have a comment for Brother Frank?
Yes, ma'am. I just wondered, because my understanding, he was asking if there's NBC who are willing, and I'm not going to speak for the whole, but I think, yes, you know, there are sisters out there who are willing, you know, to do whatever it takes in a relationship, just as, you know, the man will be willing to do whatever it takes. I think the people have to be honest with themselves, because I know personally speaking, myself, I'm a really independent, you know, independent-minded thinking woman, you know. I've dealt with my own, you know, lived on my own. I've been in relationships where, you know, I was the one who kind of managed the money and that type of thing or whatever. So I know that if I was to be with a man who says, you know, you don't have to work or, I would have to step down from that position.
Okay, is somebody outside, because we're getting some interference?
No, it ain't me, but I'm pushing mute.
Okay, thank you, man. But I know personally speaking that because I know that I have that type of drive, but because I also know that I'm striving in the way to become one with the law, that is something that I know that I would have to, you know, submit to. If I didn't have to work, you know, I wouldn't, and I would try to find something that, you know, that could better a relationship and marriage. If I did have to work, you know, I just personally believe that I'm willing. So I know if I'm willing, and I know that my sisters are out there too that are willing to make whatever sacrifices to, you know, help our, we are the helpmeet to our husbands, just as, you know, our husbands are the help, you know, they help us as well. But I think that, you know, as long as we're honest with ourselves and know what we want, that there are sisters out there who is really willing to struggle, you know, just like Mother Khadijah with her and Abba Mansour Farrakhan, you know, they struggled, you know, but it's not just her out there. You know, there's other sisters out there that have that type of mentality, type of mindset, that it may not always be teaching and training from the bottom, but we want to stick this thing out together and, you know, do what we got to do, but one day you will be top, you know. I think that, yes, there are sisters out there who are willing. But.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Okay, Brother Frank, well, was your question answered, beloved?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, it was. It was answered beautifully by all the sisters who spoke.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for having me on the call, Queen.
Yes, sir. I'm from Aleko. Okay, we're going to take another call from area code 586. Area code 586, you have a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum, sister. This is Sister Karima from Michigan. Sister Karima from Michigan.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Like slump now. I actually called in for a different reason, but once I heard the brother speaking, you know, I thought maybe I should tell just a little bit about my story. I was married when I was very young. We both came into the nation together. We just got married too young. We grew apart. So we got a divorce, and I was single for a long time. So I had to stand on my own two feet. I had to work, you know, take care of my household, take care of my son. So maybe it's been 3.5 years. I finally decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to take some time. My son was grown. I'm going to focus on me. Little behold to me, a sister asked me, said, the brother that's incarcerated needs some help with study group. Can you donate some items that you have? First, I was like, listen, I don't want to be in any debates with any brothers or anything. I'm good on that. Lo and behold, one night her husband called. She was over. And when I got on the phone, it was the brother from the study group. And we both kind of felt like we were awkward on the phone together. Make a long story short, I said, brother, let me know what you need. He wrote me a letter through the sister, and I gave him permission to call me so we could go over things. 3 years later, we're married. I love him dearly. If someone would have told me 3.5 years ago this would be me today, that's how I can say that Allah's in charge. We can plan, but then Allah plans. This has humbled me beyond. This has humbled me beyond measure because I was that strong sister that I can do this. And unless Allah sent him to my house, I probably wasn't going to meet him. So Allah didn't send him exactly to my house, but he did send him to me. And with a brother, I never looked for. I wasn't looking for material things. And I guess more so it was because I had experienced that. I was looking for God. I know the God, but I was looking for a God. And with my husband, I can truly say I have that. I'm a strong sister, and it takes a lot. And I know that to deal with my strong personality, but he deals with it just fine. I know my place. So this isn't what I called in to say, but I just felt compelled after listening to the brother that called in to share my story, which this is the first time I have done besides just a few people that know me. But I'm not ashamed. I'm very proud. I'm humbled by what through the minister, what he has put in place, these brothers. And if anybody know Brother Victor, which I'm going to have to charge him for these PSAs when I call in, that he is doing an awesome job with these brothers. So I just want us to be careful when we turn away from a thing because it's not ideal to us. Because I was that sister with that mindset. So, sister, I'm not going to take over the show. I just wanted to share my story.
Well, that's a beautiful story, sister. Thank you for sharing because I know you have encouraged so many brothers just by sharing that, and we thank you for that. Thank you
so
much.
Yes, ma'am. You're more than welcome. And like I said, just take a look sometimes. It may not be the ideal situation because what I thought years ago was the ideal situation, it wasn't for me. You know,
yes,
I still love beyond belief. You know, he may not be able to go out and buy material things, but I guarantee you anything he can possibly send to me or do for me, he's doing and has done. So thank you,
ma'am,
for letting me speak.
Oh, yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bear witness to true love. There you go. Okay, we have a question from Byron in the chat room, and Byron wants to know, why do Muslim women refuse to have, what? Oh, okay, he was using symbols, okay, before marriage. What is there to convince a man to marry you? Okay. I'm not going to even tackle that. I'm not going to even do that. I'm not doing that.
I surely will.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But I know my question's going
to
let me have it. And whatever he gets, that's what he gets.
Because it was simple. So if he wants simple, we're going to get him simple. But, reality of it is, first of all, when you taste the forbidden fruit, why would you want to buy it after you didn't have a taste? That's like going to the store getting an apple. You didn't bit all it and you ate it, and now you get some regret. So are you going to actually tell the lady at the register, oh, I had an apple on aisle 5, but I ate it, but I'm going to still pay for it? No. You don't want to buy it no more because it's gone. What you buy for something you already didn't ate? Same thing with the woman. Why buy something you already didn't deal with? That's like, that's just simple. That's just the reality of it is. And see, this world has taught you
to go ahead and taste a few prior to, and so that's the reason we in the madness and the insanity that we in, which caused you to ask that mad and insanity question, because you didn't taste it too much of the few, and probably didn't got hold of something bad, and that's why you didn't lost your God-forbidden bleeping mind for even trying to sit up here and ask a question like that. Oh, praise to our Lord. Yes, Lord, be good. And I'm going to shut up, because I'm going to say something I don't want to.
Okay. Can I just ask something real quick, please?
Sister, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say, you know, that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't just sit on Muslim women. I mean, all praise is due to Allah that, you know, Muslim women stay, you know, steadfast and, you know, it's seen a lot in the Muslim community. But, you know, Christians follow up, there's Christians, you know, Jews that follow that same principle, keeping our, you know, our virtue until we're married, but it's just something that, this is just something that God requires, you know, this is something that he ordained, you know, marriage is ordained, and it's not just Muslim women who are just saying, oh, I'm going to put this over your head that you're supposed to marry me, this is what you want. No, this is how it's supposed to be set up, but Satan has made all this evil fair semen, and now just because majority of the world, you know, or on this side, on the Western side, takes place in it so much, or because it's just so common, people mistake, you know, common ways with, oh, now it's okay. No, it's still not okay just because a lot of people are doing it. We're still supposed to wait. So it's not just a Muslim thing. It's, you know, those striving to be righteous. You know, that's all that boils down to. That's it. I'll play them.
Okay, anybody else? Latoya?
Well, like they were saying, it's not a Muslim thing. Even in our culture, we teach the same thing. Number one. Number two, when you fear God, Allah, you want to do better. You strive to do better. And from listening to all the sisters on the line, we're all striving to do better, trying to live our lives according to the word of Allah, God, number one. Number two, you know, and if he ordained us to stay celibate, to, you know, keep our virtue for our husband, then guess what? We're going to do it. It's not about what man says, what so-and-so, it's about what God, he calls to let, you know, he calls the shots at the end of the day. And I think that's also part of the problem in our society today, a lot of our sisters, so, you know, hot in the pants. They want to give it up so easily. And we have so many baby mamas, that baby mama drama. So why would we want to give our virtue to just any old God walking the streets? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's crazy to me.
Mm, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Did we hear from some Michelle?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Well, it's so funny that I was just looking online here and typing in a virtuous woman. I ran across this site. And so I'm just going to read this paragraph that the site says, and that's all I got to say about it. I'm not sure who else this was, a Muslim woman, but she says that Minister Louis Farrakhan said it the other day, a virtuous woman is more valuable than silver and gold. Hearing them say that in 2011 got me thinking, okay, why do black men place so much value on a woman's virtue, chastity, lack of sexual history or sexual knowledge and experience? Black men hate it if a woman has had lovers or other men's children. A woman with such experience will, for the most part, be immediately dismissed as a potential mate and considered to have no more value than a jump off. Yet black men hold themselves to no such judgments or standards and instead applaud each other for having multiple women in their lives. These attitudes about men are passed down from generation to generation of black men so that a woman's perceived value remains generalized and measured almost exclusively by what she has done with her body. Black men focus more on what a woman has done with her, that area, than she has done with her mind, her heart, or any other wonderful quality she may have. And that's all I have to say about it. Thank you.
Well, let me say this. You know, okay. No, I'm trying to be professional. Okay, you know, it's obvious that it's a possibility that you may have been engaged in that type of relationship before. And if you are still in the position where you have to ask the question, then that's the evidence that that process has not been successful for you because you are still unfulfilled. And you're going to continue, and that's not just for you. I'm not saying you personally. You're going. We all be continue to be unfulfilled as long as we are disobedient to the word of God. Because there is no great reward for disobedience, but there is a great reward for obedience. And so you have to earn your, you have to earn your very life. You have to prove yourself worthy to Allah. And we as women are the daughters of Allah. We are the second self of Allah. So it's not for us to give ourselves to men as though we are samples and then, you know, hey, see if you like it, and if you do, take it, and if you don't, walk away. No. But the misconception about all of this is that when women do it, nine times out of ten, we're labeled as something other than a woman. You know, we're called whores or sluts or whatever. But in actuality, you men who are out there doing it for no reason and every reason at any given time and any given season are the true whores. You are the true whore because you are giving yourself away, not even knowing your own value, not even caring about where you deposit your seed, and you walk away thinking you've done something, not knowing or caring if you left that woman with a child. And it's the saddest thing in the world is to walk down the street and pass by your own child and you don't even know it. That's a real whoremonger right there. Because most of the time when a woman lay down with a man, whether the situation was good, bad, or indifferent, if she has a child, she's going to take care of that child, whether she's with somebody or whether she's by herself. But you men, you walk away. And you think that you've done something. But Allah is all-knowing and all-seeing. All-knowing and all-seeing. So you haven't done anything. But you have been the true whore. Because you've given it away for nothing, for absolutely nothing. So, you know, I'd rather just, if you are seeking to be happy and successful in a relationship, then I suggest that you get into a relationship with Almighty God, Allah, first, so that you will know what to look for in a woman. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So, Sister Yatira?
Yes, ma'am. Well,
Mm-mm. I think I said on that.
I think I said my part on that, you know.
Okay. All right. So we have a question from Vanessa in the chat room. Vanessa says she,
she said, I think the most cruelest thing is for brothers to go outside of the mosque and marry lost found sisters. She say, I have been constantly striving in the mosque for 12 years and have been unchosen. There's a couple of brothers that I have been interested in, but they did not show interest in me. She says, I'm tired of, okay, I'm sorry, I got to refresh my screen. I'm tired of waiting and being ignored by the FOI in my mosque, but the brothers in my neighborhood are the ones who truly treat me like a queen. What do sisters like me do? Mm. Oh, hey.
Ooh.
Who the first one out the gate on that one?
Whoa.
Not it.
Oh, let us know.
I'm going to be good and wait. I'm going to be good and wait with that one. But I got so much I would love to say on that one. But I'm going to be good and wait.
Wow.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. What's this, LaToya? Sister LaToya?
No, I'm just wait on that one. I'll let y'all say something.
Well, Sister Michelle?
Okay, I'll go first, dang it. Okay. I don't like to go first because then I hear the other sisters talk, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I could have said this and I could have said that. Okay. This is what I'm going to say. Before I came into the nation, I've been in the nation a little bit over 5 years now. Before I came into the nation, I passed this one brother in the street, and one day in an auditing session, I'm going to go back and revisit that moment and see who this brother is because I got a couple of words to say to him. But this brother told me that, well, sister, if you was a sister in the mosque, you'd have a husband. Okay, let's roll this into the present situation, right? 5 years and some months, and I still don't have a husband. So I definitely understand what the sister is talking about, and I hope that I won't be saying the same thing 12 years down the line, you know? And there was a lost pound brother interested in me, and I went back and forth in my mind. But here's what I found, because everything, every single thing that the most honorable minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us is one, the truth, and it is good for us. He has told us as the MGT, now you can do what you want, but good instruction is good instruction, and that's what he gives. He has told us, the MGT, that it is better to us that if we be patient and wait on a FOI. So let's go back to that lost found brother, right? Now, I get tired of being a teacher. I'm 53 years old. My oldest child is 36. I've been teaching for at least the past 36 years. I don't want to teach my husband. I just do not want to do that. But that's what I was finding. Every time I would have a conversation with the man, I got to start where you go, you know, the basics. We still on the basics, okay, and teach him what I already know. Well, how does that edify me? How does that get me to where I need to be if I'm in the marriage and I'm always in the role of teaching, you know? And Minister Farrakhan also told us, too, be careful who you marry, sisters, because you're going to become just like them. Because the woman submits to the man and not the other way around. That's why brothers can go marry lost pound sisters, see, because they're going to teach on her, you know, and she's going to follow him, and she's going to submit to him. So I asked myself, am I going to submit to a man who knows nothing about the teaching? I'm going to spend whatever days I have left on this world teaching this man. I don't have no problem teaching the lost found brothers. But how does that edify me? when do we sit down and study, and he brings to me, you know, some things that I need to know if I'm always the teacher. So personally, I don't care how bad I want a husband, I don't think that I could personally, you know, go that way, because I find a value in a FOI. Now, let me clarify that, since we're throwing real around. I find value in a real FOI,
right.
Not a FOY. Why are you trying to act like a FOI? But a real FOI. There is value in him because he has been taught and he has been raised up and he has been trained to act a certain way. Now, remember I said, a real FOI. Don't get you no FOY, okay? And that's about, I think I done covered it all. So I just couldn't do it because they're not trained the same way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a man outside of the nation. I'm saying that our counselor, the divine warner and guide in our midst, has asked us not to do that. And you know, the Quran says, don't say you believe, just say you submit. Don't say you, and I'm adding this, don't say you understand. Sometimes you don't understand, but trust and believe. When that man right there gives you an instruction, whether you understand it or not, he's telling you something that is for your own good, because he knows. He's been to the mother plane and back. We haven't. He's sat with the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and heard things that we haven't. Mm-hmm. So that's about all that I have to say on that subject.
Okay, who's next?
Don't do it.
Okay, I'll say this one lie. I'll go. Being a sister, I praise be to Allah, who came into the nation under a Muslim. He was registered, but he wasn't active, okay? And their duty, and I hate to say it like this because we might look at it as being wrong, but their duty is to go out there and fish. It's their duty. And seeing a righteous man, it's attractive. I'm not going to lie. When you see a man that knows God, you see a man that knows himself, you see a man that, you know what I'm saying, he just, man, queen this and beloved that, and it's attractive. So, you know, we as women, we get hoodwinked, bamboozled, as the minister says, and we tend to want that because we, who isn't looking for that perfect man? Who's not? At any woman, Muslim, Christian, whatever you want to call them, who's not looking for that perfect man? So you go with this man, and this is what I've noticed with a lot of sisters and brothers, a lot of lost found sisters that come into the nation. They come into the nation because of that man. And when they get there and they realize that, wait a minute, he don't really want me. He just wanted to bring me into the teachings. I don't want to be here. Well, see, that's when we get misconstrued and confused, because even though that brother went out there and got that lost down sister, he gave her Islam. He never gave her Islam. And so there goes the revolving door of Islam, unfortunately. So we get lost, and we lose what Allah was trying to put into that vessel, which was righteousness and things of that nature. So the brothers definitely have to be careful with that. But I also got to say this to my sisters. And I've said it on here earlier. Everything that look good ain't good for you. Just because he got a suit and a bow tie on does not mean that he is a perfect man. A character of a man you cannot hide. When a man show you who you, or a woman for that matter, when a man or a woman show you who they are, they are who they are. Unfortunately, we are looking for a certain thing. And a lot of brothers in the nation, and again, everybody's not perfect. Everybody, no one's perfect. Are we all trying to learn how to be? If we was perfect, God wouldn't have had King himself to raise us to a situation, out of a situation, a condition. So right now we all learning to grow.
And a lot of brothers can't deal with the MGT because what's the MGT? Negro, you better have a job, you better have some money, you better have this, you better have that. A lot says you're supposed to be doing this to me, you're supposed to be doing that to me. So there's a high standard that a lot of brothers don't want to take that responsibility and live up to. You understand what I'm saying? Because that means, oh, my God, I got to do this for this MGT. I got to do that for MGT. I got to. But if I got on the suit of both sides and I go to a lost found woman, she'll just be happy with me just having a suit of both sides going to the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because I look good. So she's just happy with the appearance of me being a Muslim. You understand what I'm saying? So it's about looking like something that she wants. But then when she realized, well, she got the lost found sister, and she realized it's another nigga in a bow tie. And so we end up losing, unfortunately, those sisters that come in because of the fact she realized she still was dealing with a nigga. Even a little bit of a more well-dressed nigga, you know what I'm saying? He was a nigga, all in all, he was a nigga. So all praises to Allah, you know. So a lot of our brothers, I got to say this, a lot of our brothers go outside because it's a little bit of a higher standard when you're dealing with an MGT. When you know that you are God, when you know that you are God, I don't mean you say you are God. Oh, God, I'm a God. Praise God. I'm a God. No, when you know that you are God, then there's a higher standard that you look forward to within the mate. You just don't accept no anything. You say, well, you know what? I want this. I want that. I want that. And you do not, again, compromise. A lot of brothers is not ready for that. A lot of, and I got to say this. Stop messing with folks that just got out of processing. They just got out of processing. Oh, he got his ex now. Okay, but he's still a Negro. This is something that you grow into, and it does not happen overnight. I've been in the nation for 10 years, and I'm still going out of my Negroism because I know this is not something that I'm just going to come into overnight. This is a process. We have to literally, the devil has put so much, the Satan has put so much negative in us, especially coming from the hood, ghettos, quote-unquote. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we got someone, you got your more higher standard, higher society niggas, whatever. But I'm talking to my real folks from the hood. You know who you are. When you coming from a place that all you knew how to do was pop it like it was hot, sell drugs and all that stuff, that's all you knew, that's all you knew how to do, and hustling was the order of the day, that mentality is in you for a while, especially if you ain't coming to this thing until you was 20, 30, 40 years old. Sisters, half of these brothers just came up out of prison. Seriously? First of all, you don't even know what he was in prison for. You know, what Elijah Muhammad said, you know what I'm saying, give a brother a chance because we just came out of jail. Okay, all praise due to Allah. Come talk to me in about 5-6 years after you get out of jail. Don't come talking to me 2-3 days after you got out of jail. And I'm not saying, the reason why I'm saying this is because we got to grow into this thing called Islam. We cannot, that this is going to happen overnight. It's a process. When anything, if a baby does not come into the world as soon as it's made, it's a process, 9 months. And they come in the world complete yet incomplete, says the Quran. We are complete yet incomplete because we have to grow into the knowledge of self. Why do a Muslim make the devil study from 35 to 40 years before you can call himself a Muslim son? That ain't just for the white man, beloved. This supreme wisdom is there for a reason. Because he is a devil. Within him is everything that was taught to him wrong. We was taught wrong. We was grown wrong. We came from the womb wrong. And then our world, our society, everything about us told us to do it wrong. Now here come God saying doing it right. And what happens to a people that is given a change, an immediate change? They rebel against that change. So now we got to understand why we are rebelling against our changes. Think about it. How many of you get up at night in the middle of the morning, knowing you're supposed to be on that prayer rug, knowing you're supposed to get on you, and the first thing you say, Allah knows my heart? Really? Seriously? Really? How many of you know you're supposed to be studying? You know you ain't supposed to be in no sister faith. You know you ain't supposed to be in no brother faith. You know a brother ain't supposed to be at your house. You know you ain't supposed to be on the phone conversating, talking and gossiping. You know everything, but yet you still do it. Why? Because that rebellious GM nature within yourself is telling you to go against. So we got to kill a devil. Four devils we are told to kill. Four, in order for us to get the button of that lap hell on our collar. Four, we ain't perfect. We going to be perfect. So, yeah, the brothers is wrong going out there to get the lost found sisters. Yeah, the sisters are wrong going out here getting the lost found brothers. Yeah, we wrong in every dealings we do, but, see, it's going to take us to want to submit that will to Allah in order for us to get better. And I'm going to go ahead and be quiet on that one.